Hello, everyone, and welcome to our late July podcast, Casinos USA podcast, episode 137, Inflation and Gambling, Indisputable Facts. And of course, we have the usual suspects in the studio this morning. We always welcome our digital audience. Thank you, everybody, for coming back. No, I'd never make a mess. I just love this crew. And later in our program, we will be getting back to craps talk and then some odds and ends late news. But let's start with this serious topic, inflation and gambling. And we're going to give you facts. I think we all would acknowledge that inflation cuts across nearly all aspects of American life. And certainly food prices, energy prices, the cost of gasoline associated with energy. We anticipate much higher heating bills come late fall and winter. All that being said, casinos are raking it in. They're still raking it in. But we think there's some danger signs, you know, for the future. Maybe inflation is starting to have an impact, even though they haven't been hit too badly so far. But we anticipate and we expect that casinos will start to comp much more than they have been. They didn't really have to. They were just raking it in, as I said, setting records all around the country. You know, casinos and sports gambling in 35 states. Come on. They were making a bundle. So, to keep it going, because as people pull back, they need to do something. And they are starting to do things. The comps are getting a little easier to get. And there's more general comps, you know, just going to the casino, having an opportunity to get a gas card, for example, on certain days. Yeah, hey, we'll pay you $10 in gas to come and play today. Okay, those are the kind of things that weren't happening and they're happening now. And we attribute that to the rising inflation cost. And it's just hitting so many people that casinos are saying, hey, it's starting to hit me. Well, I want to bring my partner, Jenny, in to discuss this with you. We'll start right here in Pennsylvania and then just go generally around the country and talk about what casinos are facing and what they're doing to help people get past it. So a very short break and we'll be right back with Janie.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. As most of you know, our podcast originates from the Pittsburgh suburbs in Pennsylvania. And we have basically in this area of Western Pennsylvania, Southwestern Pennsylvania, anyhow, four major casinos. The Rivers in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Live in Greensburg, which is Westmoreland County, and the Meadows in Washington County. We have Lady Luck at Nemacolin Resort in Fayette County. So we're always curious as to what's going on and how we're affected in Pennsylvania. And what's astonishing to us is that Pennsylvania's total of 16 casinos generated over $5 billion in revenue for the fiscal year ending June 30th.
For those of you that don't know, Nevada, you think of Las Vegas and Reno particularly, there's 404 casinos. But Pennsylvania has more people than Nevada and 16 casinos. So some of these figures for these casinos, the slot revenue alone, it's amazing. You know, the Pittsburgh casino that Janie mentioned, the Rivers, took in $270 million in slot revenue. That's amazing for one casino. I mean, so you think sometimes, all the casinos, the big casinos are in Nevada, but it's not true. When you only have 16 casinos in your state, some of them get to be very, very
Lucrative,
yeah, that's the word.
Right. Well, and what is also amazing, I think, is that Pittsburgh Live has only been open for a couple years.
Yeah, it really got successful very quickly, didn't it? The management of Pittsburgh Live is the Meriden Live family, the Cordage family. And let's face it, you know, they know how to run a casino, and this satellite casino in Pennsylvania is doing fantastically. And, you know, it's because of the way they promote it. And they may have hurt another casino. Also, I think, would you agree, Janie, Lady Luck is at a beautiful resort, a Nemacolin Woodlands Resort.
It is.
But I think they were hurt by Pittsburgh Live.
Right. We actually stopped there last weekend. On our way back from Rocky Gap Casino and Resort, we decided we had done this before. Let's stop at Rocky Gap, at Nemacolin. And we don't always go that way that enables us to do that, but we thought we'd try it. We haven't been there for a couple of years. So we did stop, and lo and behold, it was a Monday, and on a big sign on the door said that Nemacolin's Lady Luck is now closed on Monday and Tuesdays, the whole day.
And you think about the summer being the big earning period for resorts. I mean, I think it just shows you they're hurting. Now, they took in $22 million. That's a lot of money. But, you know, when you think about the other three casinos we mentioned, $93 million is the Live, $161 million for the Meadows, and then $270 million from slots with the Rivers. You can see that Nemacolin's Lady Luck is...
Wow, and not only that, but Nemacolin doesn't start table games those other days that they're open during the week. Some days they start at open at 2 for all the table games, and some days 3.
Well, that's good. So I can go right into the point of our opening is that some casinos might be hurt for other reasons. We think Lady Luck was hurt by Pittsburgh Live, but all casinos are concerned about the inflationary pressures put on people, their players. And even though Pennsylvania had a record year with $1.3 billion more than they ever took in before, the 16 casinos, there are signs, and there are signs in Nevada as well, that there's possibly a slowdown coming because people are just pulling back because it's costing them more to live, to eat, to rent, you know, everything. Everything's just going up. We're all going through it. And so they're a little bit afraid, I think, that they're going to lose and continue to lose players. Bloomberg News, which I think is quite legitimate, I think it's well respected, they're actually saying that 50% of American families, because of the inflationary spiral of prices, are having a difficult time paying bills. And, you know, Janie and I have stressed repeatedly, the only kind of money to gamble with is money that's not necessary to pay bills. And if you're using that money to now pay your bills, which are much higher because of a variety of reasons, particularly the cost of energy, you can understand that that's going to put a hurt on gamblers. And let me make that recreational gamblers. Anthony Curtis, the Las Vegas Advisor, a publication that we certainly enjoy, makes the same point. And let me restate that. But casinos suddenly now have to comp and make offers, make things more attractive to bring people. Obviously, sports betting has been big, has helped them tremendously. You know?
Right, yes.
But how widespread is sports betting?
Well, sports betting is now legal in all but 15 states.
Yep, 15 states. So 35 states have legalized sports betting. Maybe they're not operating yet, but it's been approved.
Right, it has been approved. A lot of them aren't operating yet.
Well, we know
Maryland is one of them.
But it's legal and it's approved.
You know, it's been approved. They have their sports bar, their sports book lined up where it's going, and but they can't open it till the legislature approves does the fine tuning for it.
Well, I think it's great to have legalized sports betting from your phones and all that, but there's still an issue with this inflation. I have two examples. Derek Stevens, of course, big player in Las Vegas with the Circa, the new opening on Fremont Street.
Well, he's the owner, right?
He's the owner, yes. And he said that last month he's had 11% fewer withdrawals taken from his ATMs. So that's a sign. He's afraid that's a sign that people are pulling back. And there's been a change in the traffic. Now, it's still unbelievable, but the traffic patterns from California to Nevada, and, you know, they probably track that with those rubber tubes, it's down 9%. So people from California...
And that was almost... We watched it. I mean, on 15, Highway 15, I mean, it was almost just a constant... It was always full, both ways.
But we anticipate, and it's happened in our own life, suddenly we're getting postcards and we're getting offers from places where, you know, we played and didn't get much at all. I was really upset with Pittsburgh Live because, I mean, I played there twice a month or more. I got so little, all of a sudden, I'm getting more and more. I'm getting $20 a week in free play and in match plays. I don't know how you feel about it, but they should come back with those comps.
Oh, they definitely. I know we talk about Rocky Gap all the time, and we had great comps from there. It was amazing what we had there over the summers before, even last year. But they just sort of cut back.
Yeah, they cut back because they didn't have to give comps. I mean, every time you try to get a suite there, it's sold out.
It's sold out, yeah. Yes. We used to have no problem getting them.
Well, I think people wonder, you know, I've wondered this too. Why is Vegas important, you know, when you think, well, there's gambling now, there's casino resorts in so many states, and the states have several. Some the ones that don't have, across the board, they have tribal casinos, you know, so it makes up for not having legalized gambling across the board. But why is Vegas such a destination for whatever, the NFL draft, for convention after convention? Why is that? Why is Las Vegas such a draw when there's other casinos? And here's the answer. And I think most people would not appreciate how many hotel rooms there are in Las Vegas.
Well, it's for a fact, there's 150,487 hotel rooms now. And that includes the Strip, downtown, the local casinos with hotels, and then hotels without casinos. Resorts World and Circa have easily made up for any casino resorts that did not make it through the pandemic and reopen.
Well, the stations are closing. They closed down. So there's three right there. But so what? Those two new ones made up for all that. And the other thing is, despite the inflationary pressures, they're still very inexpensive rooms. And I need to point this out. When we talk about room prices, we talk about room comps because we're gamblers. But if you're not a gambler, you can still stay on Fremont Street or on the Strip for a relatively decent price.
Well, and I always like to point out that for the type of room that you get, I mean, they're almost all very, very nice. You know, everybody has a few places they probably wouldn't want to stay or whatever, but they're almost all very nice for the caliber of the hotel that you're staying in. That's where the price seems to be so reasonable as compared to if you were going to, let's say, New York City or San Francisco or any place like that, you're going to pay a lot more. Any of the beaches, you know, on the East Coast, Myrtle Beach, Virginia Beach, I mean, any of those in the summer, especially.
Well, right now, this summer, Four Queens and Benyon's, they don't have resort fees. So it's just this room price and tax, you know, the same tax mm-hmm. everybody would pay. You can get rooms for $59. You can get a room for $67 plus resort fee at the Strat. Now, you know what? Those rooms are nice.
All right. Yeah, they are. And I think it's not just the number of rooms, you know, the 150,000 plus hotel rooms that are there, but Las Vegas can do crowds well.
Well, they sure can, Janie. I remember the NFL draft, you know, coming from Las Vegas, and my goodness, they closed down a couple streets and everything. They had everything planned with the traffic. It was just pulled out without any issues, at least that I'm aware of. That was a wonderful thing. But inflation has hit the Strip in another way that makes it hard for a lot of us, you know. Some people like to go to Las Vegas not for gambling, not necessarily even for the desert sun, you know, the swimming and all that, but to see shows. And there's not a show on the Strip but one where the ticket is under $100. The show that is under $100 gets great reviews. It's at the Strat. It's called Illuminate. But other than that, you know, you're taking an expensive flight perhaps to come to Vegas, or a long automobile drive with, you know, $5.50 a gallon gasoline. And, you know, those expenses are way up. And, you know, when you might get a deal on the rooms, as we mentioned, but to see a show, it might cost you $250, you know? So inflation has really smacked the tourist consumer who goes to Las Vegas to see a show. Well, where can you get 24-hour steak dinner?
Well, but South Point's, I'll go back to that, South Point's buffets, They're so popular.
And they're so reasonable.
So reasonable, but you do have a wait usually.
Yeah,
but
that's,
yeah,
it's so reasonable that it's hard to get in.
It is. Now, yeah, Ellis Island, everything there, we said this before, everything there is good. It may not be the best you ever had, but I have had steaks there that were excellent.
Yeah, and without any gambling at all, the steak is $9.99, and you can reduce that $2,
I think. You can reduce that to $7.99,
yeah. With the $5 play.
Right.
So, and I had the prime rib in the Downtown Grand. I had a heck of a roll that day, so I was really hungry. And I had... Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe the price of the prime rib. I was unaware that they were known for this prime rib dinner at the Downtown Grand on Fremont. $9.99. Can you believe that? If you think you go out to a restaurant, you want a big piece of prime rib, you're going to pay $30,
yeah.
You know, it's the start.
Right. You can look around for this. And sometimes that's the fun of it, I think, when you look around for deals and then you come across them. And it's fun to see how cheaply you can get very good food there.
Now, I don't know if our next car will be an electric car, but I would say this. I would want to drive an electric car before I just bought one. And you can do that right now at Resorts World. You can rent them. Do you remember the price?
$199 a day.
Okay, so...
And, of course, you won't be putting gas in it,
no,
so...
And I learned to fill a Tesla up at one of those...
Filling.
Well, they're not
filling stations, but they're filling sites. I don't know.
Well, it's about $10. Try charging stations, Fav. And then some people say you should never fill them up because it hurts the battery. So I don't know. I don't own one, so you have to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, when you rent one, they're going to tell you.
Yeah. So, and there's still free bus fares in Las Vegas from the Strat that drives
to Fremont,
you around downtown.
Yeah, right.
It's incredible. Now, there is a trial of self-driven electric cars, not self-driven, automatically driven. They're going to have a test driver in them just to be positive, but they're going to be free around Fremont Street. That's opening up as I speak. So here's the problem with electric cars today, and this, again, is tied to inflation. The price of electric vehicles are nearly 40% higher than gas-powered vehicles, and that's according to Kelley Blue Book. So the average price for an electric car in May of 2022 was more than $65,000, more than $65,000, while the average price for a new car was about $46,500. So the Halo Dot Car Company is starting with three cars operating in about a mile and a quarter area around the Arts District downtown. Again, they'll have a standby driver in the car just in case something goes wrong, but they're going to be free. So you might want to try one of these remote car pilot things, you know, and see if they appeal to you or not. So that's another reason. But it all just, it shows you, you know, Vegas has so much to offer despite the inflationary pressures. But inflationary pressures are real, and some people just can't afford to do it right now. For whatever reason, it's not necessarily their fault. Comps, that we're getting comps now that we hadn't for a couple of years because casinos weren't giving them out so easily.
Well, and we have a lot of members that listen to the podcast that have been doing the same thing. They're getting comps also.
Yeah, suddenly these comps are, you know, in your mail, they're popping up, and they're trying to get you back. So, you know, we can't see into the future. We don't know when this inflationary spiral will end. And it's not a good thing. You know, we know that the heating costs in the East for us are going to be much, much more than they were last winter. You know, the price of natural gas is going up. So whatever your situation, I know you're affected some ways by inflation. But we think inflation will affect gambling unless casinos do what they're starting to do, is make going to a casino much more attractive by comps. And casinos sort of protect their turf. I think there's a great example in South Point, which is considered, it's south of the Strip, and not that far, but it's south of the Strip. It's considered a local's favorite casino, and they have this staycation thing, you know, where they'll give you $20 in free slot play, two cocktails by the pool, and they'll also give you two free show tickets, you know, so they're trying to keep people from going to California beaches, you know, stay in Vegas and come to South Point. So that's just an example. And I think as Vegas starts to comp more, you'll find that your local casino, whatever state that you live in that has legalized gambling, will also suddenly begin to comp more and more. I mean, that's just how it works. Now, you know, you have to be mature. If you can't afford to gamble because of inflationary costs, don't. Many of us have to cut back some. I'm one of them. You know, I'm cutting back some. I'm not being crazy stupid with, you know, the way I gamble in terms I'm going to be a low roller personified through this inflationary period. But I want to thank Jenny for helping us today discuss this very important topic, inflation and gambling. And you have to make your own decision. But again, if the money you're gambling with is money you need to pay bills with, don't go to the casino, please. You know, your discretionary income, if you have some, that's up to you. I'm going to continue to use mine as a recreational gambler, but I'm going to be a little more cautious maybe than I have been. Okay, we're going to be coming back for Crab Stock, just a short break, and we will return. And again, thank you, Janie. Hey, and by the way, South Point Sportsbook has the best $1.50 hot dog in America. All right, we'll be right back. Yeah, so you're right back at 3-2-1 craps. And for you, those of you who didn't understand that reference, we'll talk about that shortly. And it's going to be an important one today because of what I have to say before we talk about 3-2-1 craps. I think part of the, you know, the hobby of playing craps, shooting dice, is, you know, just to, particularly now with all the smartphones out there, to go onto the internet and look at some of these groups. You know, we're saying, hey, you know, check all these things out. And in the YouTube videos, and some of them, you take them with the proverbial grain of salt. But some of them, they are so freaking ridiculous. I mean, you have to react. And I came across a group of craps players online who believe that the reason casinos permit odds bets behind the pass line is to stop dice control aficionados from winning. You know, they're so convinced that there are so many people that can control the dice that it's almost like the casino's putting up little landmines. Come on. You know, their superior skills, these craps control aficionados, these specialty people, they'll be negated by the dice hitting the chips behind the line. Oh, come on. You know, I want to add to this insanity to the growing number of players who believe it's senseless, absolutely senseless, to make line bets if you're not the shooter. They don't understand that line bets with odds are most mathematically sound bets in the game of craps. And in fact, maybe as good as any you'll get in a casino overall, because there's no house edge in the odds behind the pass line or the odds on the don't pass line. Come on. Well, plain and simple, you know, you can make a line bet if you're playing a right side craps. You know, you can make place bets, you can make come bets, you can put odds on come bets. And if the shooter is rolling numbers, any right side strategy works. You know, Jeremy Ellerich really, I love watching his strategies that people send in, because he's so honest, and he'll show you, he'll demonstrate the strategy, and then, you know, teach you the strategy very quickly, and then demonstrate it live and tape it. And I don't know what the percentage is, but it seems like half the time they're not successful. And that's pretty much what it would be, right? You know, it's craps is close to being a 50-50 game, because the house edge, if played correctly, is pretty low. You know, but last year in Nevada, the casinos made 18% profit from craps players, you know, playing craps. And that shouldn't be. It shows you they're playing the wrong way. Help me, help me. So any strategy that's a right side strategy will work if a player is rolling numbers. And any strategy that's a right side strategy, you know, associated with pass line, odds behind the pass line, come bets, odds on come bets, will not work if there's come out, roll, 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 seven out. Come out, roll, seven out. Come out, roll, point established, roll, 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 seven out. No, they won't work. I don't care how good they are. And some people play hybrids. You know, they play a strategy that's mostly right side, and then in part wrong side, or the dark side of craps, by doing this. You know, they'll place numbers, and then they'll make a don't come bet, which pays 1-to-1. So let's say that don't come bet goes to the 5. So they're hoping their place bets will show and the 5 won't. And if 7 out, they'll, you know, put $50 on a don't come and it goes to the 5. And so they'll get 50 bucks, which is sounds better than laying a number, because when you lay a number, if you laid a number for $50, you'd pay a dollar vig and you'd also only get $25. But you would be able to pick the number. That's the difference. On the don't come, you know, it travels. Now, on a don't come, again, it's just like the don't pass line. If a 2 or 3 is rolled, you win immediately. If a 12 is rolled, it's a push. If a 7-11 is rolled, you would lose. And, of course, a 7 would kill everything else you have out there, too. So I've done a little hybrid play. I'm not a big fan of hybrid play. What I do is oscillate. I go back and forth between playing right side and playing dark side. And I often make place bets from the dark side with the intention of taking them down. And you're saying, well, what about this odds bet? Well, sometimes I make come bets with odds too. But the advantage that it gives me is that you can take place bets down or you can turn them off. For example, dice go off the table, say, all my place bets are off. Because you know, the superstition that the next roll will be a 7, dice went off the table. I even, when I do that, I hop the 7s, you know, trying to really get greedy, right? And you feel like a king when the 7s rolled next, because you didn't lose a cent, except for your pass line bet. I already picked up my odds bet for one roll, which you can pick it up odds behind the pass line. Anytime you want to, pick them up. That's yours, not a contract. And by hopping the 7s, hopping the reds, they call it, you know, I make some extra money. $6 hop the reds, pays 26 bucks. There you go. So that's what 3-2-1 craps was all about. How can you play pass line with odds behind the pass line? And what's this 3-2-1 all about? Well, the 3-2-1 is regarding the odds that you put behind the pass line. So if the number is 6 or 8, you put 3 chips. If the number is a 5 or 9, you put 2 chips. And if the number is a 4 or 10, you put 1 chip. Now, if you want to go to a higher table, you know, you can certainly just inflate it the same way. You know, so if it's a $10 table, then 6 and 8, $30 in odds. 5 and 9, $20 odds bet behind the line. And 4 or 10, $10 odd bet. That's what 3-2-1 craps is all about. And at the same time, you want to place the inside numbers. And then, so you're playing right side craps on the pass line with odds behind it, and you're playing place bets, and you're going to take them down after 2 hits, maybe 3 hits. Depends how the shooter is. So that's what 3-2-1 craps was all about. But let me regress back to dice control. The dice control artists that charge you lessons, take $1,500 to teach you how to shoot dice, how to hold dice, all the variables, you know, in your throw. They're talking about how many rolls can you make without a 7. You know, not throwing a 7 for so long. And there's been a lot of, you know, contests about this, 500 rolls, how many 7s you throw. You know, so you have one person that's a dice control person and you have 2 others that are not, you know, and who's going to win? Well, sometimes the people who just pick up the dice and whale them win. You know, this has been done over and over again. You don't see it on the internet because, you know, dice control people don't want that out there. But when I say dice control, I'm not talking about how long it is before you can throw 7s. I don't believe there's such a thing as dice control. I think what you can do is, I think there's dice influence. And certain sets, in my opinion, with ancillary evidence only, you know, based on my experience, is not scientific. You can anticipate with a certain set that a 6 and 8 will come up more often than other numbers. So, for example, one of the basic ones, and you see this everywhere, when people throw the vertical 3s, the V-shaped 3s, the way the dice are set on top, you know, you're going to see a lot of 6 and 8s, I believe. And I have a whole package of these kinds of things. And do they work? Are they effective? Yeah, when I win, I think they are. And when I lose, I think, well, you know, they weren't. So I'm not, you know, putting this in stone or anything. But I don't believe in dice control. The back wall makes the call. I have a grandson who's a dealer in Vegas, and there's nobody ever been banned because they are dice control artists. They may have been banned because they don't hit the dice roll, that their dice don't hit the back wall, which is required. And, you know, the casinos let that go, but if they see you're doing that intentionally, they say, hey, you're welcome to play other games here, but you can't play craps anymore. Because you can certainly control dice if there's a chance of controlling dice. You can certainly influence dice if they don't have to hit the craps, the back wall, right? I'm sorry, not craps, the back wall. So that's our word today. Don't play this game without making line bets, because if you do, you're passing up the most mathematically sound bet in the game and odds behind the pass line. And the other aspect of that is close to one-third, 30% of games in craps are settled on the come-out roll. So that's a lot of sevens on the come-out roll you're going to miss. And in my case, I hedged the come-out roll with three-way craps. So I'm going to win on a 7-11. I'm going to win on a 2-3-12. So I love come-out rolls. I've made so much money from come-out rolls. Generally, when I have a bad day, it's because people established their numbers right away and didn't hit a 7-11 or a 2-3-12. Okay, well, I hope that's helpful. Finally, for odds and ends, we want to clarify, Janie and I were talking about Nemacolin Casino Resort. It's not a casino resort. It's a woodlands resort, 2,200 acres. And there happens to be a casino company that leases some land of that 2,200 acres and has a casino. And we're not being critical. Nemacolin is truly a five-star resort. There's movie stars there flying into Western Pennsylvania. Most times I'm up there, I see somebody that's very famous walking around. And Falling Waters, two or three miles from the resort, that's the famous home built by Frank Lloyd Wright and from an earlier century now. That's still phenomenal. It goes right over a trout stream. But so there's a lot of things to do there. 2,200 acres. They have all kinds of activities besides swimming. You know, they just have so many things you can do. They also have a small RV section. But you look, check it out online. You just won't believe what they packed into 2,200 acres. It's a fantastic resort. The issue we have is with Lady Luck. They're not promoting their casino. And because they're within easy driving distance of Pittsburgh Live, you know, an hour away from Pittsburgh Live, they've been hurt by Pittsburgh Live as much as they've been hurt by inflation, like all casinos are suddenly feeling. They've been hurt by Pittsburgh Live because Pittsburgh Live just does a better job, in our opinion, promoting their casino. However, Nemacolin, if you want to stay at one of the classiest resorts in the world, Nemacolin Woodlands Resort would be the place to stay. This second item is a shout out to the crew playing craps at Rocky Gap on a Sunday a week ago that a man named Ken threw the dice for 45 minutes without a seven. He had 175-1, the worst bet in craps, right? Make them all, every number but the seven. Did it twice in a row, threw 45 minutes without a seven. Yeah, the set maybe played a part. He was on the left side of the dealer. I was on the right side of the dealer. He was throwing left to right, you know, to my right. And he was throwing a very unusual way. Instead of moving his arm backwards, he was actually lifting the dice, and he would let go of them about at my, I would say, at my chin. And it would come down, and you just can picture, say, a playing card about a square away from the wall. He'd hit that area consistently. And for 45 minutes, everybody who was playing the right side, you know, the way I talked about, the pass line, the odds behind the pass line, come bets with the odds or place bets, and keep pressing your place bets, won money. And I was one of those people that did. So I want to give a big shout out to Ken. He definitely set the dice. Was it a factor? It could have been. It could have been. But again, it's just ancillary evidence. Set 45 minutes without a seven is phenomenal. That's a seven come out, a seven of any kind. There's more ways to make a seven with dice than any other number. And for 45 minutes, he did not make a seven. Fantastic job, Ken. I hope you're there next time I go back to Rocky Gap in late August. On our Facebook group, Casinos USA, you're certainly welcome to join it. I have a picture of the set that Ken used and a very specific description of how he threw the dice. Also, if you would like to call the show for any reason 24/7, make a comment on something you heard, make a trip report, tell us about your own casino adventures, that's 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. That's our 24/7 voicemail. And you'll get 5 minutes to tell your tale, and we'd love to use it on the next podcast or so. We want to thank everybody for being listeners to our Casino USA podcast. This was certainly a serious content, our lead story. Inflation is no kidding around. It's a big issue. So we're all asking each other to just be wise and careful with our money, whether it's with gambling or anything else. And we take pride in being low rollers and enjoying ourselves as recreational gamblers. And we're just gambling with discretionary income. Might be a little less income than we're used to because of inflation. But casinos are still attractive for us, and they are starting to comp more to compensate for the inflationary spiral that we're all experiencing. So we thank you. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday.